אתם עם SBS בעברית.
I'm Alex Rifkin, the co-chief executive officer of the executive council of Australian Jewry.
Alex Rifkin, welcome to Shalom Australia on SBS Radio. Alex, I would like to talk to you today about Babi Yar. President Herzog, Israeli president, was in Ukraine last week to mark 80 years since the Babi Yar massacre, the terrible massacre in which over 33,000 Jews were killed outside Kiev in 2 days. When I'm saying outside Kiev, really, it's almost a suburb of Kiev. Can you please tell us about Babi Yar? What happened there in that ravine in the Ukrainian capital, Kiev?
Babi Yar, it's, as you rightly point out, it used to be at the time of the war, it was the kind of northern outskirts of the city. But now it's very much suburban Kiev. It's very much a part of the center of the city. What happened there over 2 days in September 1941 remains one of the most chilling and graphic and barbaric aspects of the history of the Holocaust. To give a bit of context, so the Soviet Union was invaded by Nazi Germany on the 22nd of June 1941. It was a surprise invasion. Prior to that point, the Soviets and the Germans had a pact of non-aggression and cooperation. Stalin completely ignored his intelligence reports of German troop movements and a looming invasion. He said it couldn't be possible. So then when the invasion did take place, it took Stalin and the Soviet military completely by surprise. And within a few months, the Germans had gobbled up enormous amounts of territory. Within a month or so, they had occupied land equivalent to double the size of France, enormous territory. And within those areas, across hundreds and hundreds of different cities and towns and villages, had lived Jewish communities for hundreds and hundreds of years. The Germans deployed what were called Einsatzgruppen, which were killing squads made up of elite SS soldiers, with the sole mission of operating behind their advancing army, entering towns and villages and cities, and completely cleansing them of Jews wherever they found them. The city of Kiev fell after a fierce battle on the 19th of September 1941. That's when the last Soviet troops withdrew from the city. The Einsatzgruppen entered on that same day, and within a few days, notices were plastered throughout the city in three languages, in German, Russian, and Ukrainian, which said that the Jews of the city, and they used the term Zhids, which is the pejorative term in the Russian language to describe the Jewish people, had to assemble at Babi Yar on the 29th of September with their possessions and with their papers or face death. And the majority of those people felt that they would be resettled. Those Jews who remained in the city at the time were predominantly the infirm, the elderly, mothers with young children. Those of working age had already been evacuated and were operating in factories or had been drafted into the Red Army. So it was really the weakest and the most vulnerable who remained. They had no choice but to go there. And then on that horrible day, the 29th of September 1941, the Jews began to make their way as a wretched procession witnessed by many people. They made their way to Babi Yar by the main street leading out of the center of the city. The Ukrainians lined the streets and watched this wretched group moving towards their death. When they arrived at Babi Yar, they were divided into small groups. They were beaten. They were stripped naked. They had their possessions taken from them. They were then led into the ravine in groups of about 20, and they were shot, one group after the next. One group made to lie on top of the other. German soldiers would then descend into the ravine and club those who were still alive to death. Many weren't mortally wounded and slowly bled out under the piles and piles of corpses. Many suffocated under the dirt that was piled onto the victims after each day of killing. I'm sorry to speak in such graphic terms, but I think it's important that people understand the true misery and horror of what happened there. And over those 2 days, 33,771 Jews were killed. And by the end of the war, that total ballooned to about 100,000, about 90,000 of which were Jews. A chilling sight. And for many years, it was totally unknown. There was no memorial there. There was no talk of it. Any talk of it was suppressed vehemently by the Soviet authorities. But now, fortunately, there's a greater awareness of what happened at Babi Yar and the great tragedy that befell the Jews of Kiev and of the Soviet Union.
We are talking to Alex Rifkin, the co-CEO of the Executive Council of the Australian Jewry, and you are listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Alex, you've got a special connection with Ukraine. You grew up in Kiev, didn't you?
Yeah, I was born in Kiev, and my family were able to leave as refugees and refuseniks in 1987. I was 3 years old at the time. So I have very few memories, virtually no memories of what it was like there. I find it difficult to comprehend that I'm from there, but I very much am from there. It's where I was born, it's where my brother was born, it's where my parents met and lived, and where my grandparents lived and worked. And we lived, as it turned out, just a block from Baba Yar. Baba Yar is the place where I took my first steps as a boy. And no one would know, walking that ground, what horrors occurred there or what lies beneath the surface. Right now, it looks like any urban green space anywhere in Europe. But, you know, I grew up hearing the stories of what happened at Baba Yar. I mean, my parents have never spared me from the dark aspects of Jewish history and the experience of the Jews in the Soviet Union and from the stories of their own lives. And they very much shaped my identity and my consciousness as a Jew. And so from a young age, I heard these stories about not only what happened there, but what happened subsequently in the decades after. The efforts that were made to conceal the crime, the utter disregard for the Jewish victims there. My mother would tell me about how when a television tower was erected on the site of the massacre, she saw human bones strewn all over the pavement as excavators and tractors were busy at work. No one cared about the 100,000 people interred within that ground. And then I heard stories from my mother about, you know, her daily commute. And as her bus would pass Baba Yar each day, there would always be some drunk on the bus who would cry out and cackle and lament, if only they'd shot all the Jews here. So I always had a very deep, searing connection to Baba Yar. And I felt it my duty to memorialize that place and remember what happened there.
Do you know, Alex, I visited Baba Yar in about 2003. I was in Kiev, and as I said at the outset, that it really struck me as part of Kiev, because the people of Kiev could hear, could smell, could
yes.
they were part of it. There was no hiding. It wasn't so far away from the city center. It's like a suburb of Kiev now, and there was some sort of memorial, and Jews were not even mentioned. It was saying, "Here were killed." Victims of fascism.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think that the fact that so many Jewish people were killed in 2 days, it was so important. It's so important to remember. Do you know that the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, Rabbi Israel Meir Lau, when he visited the place, he reacted to the massacre. He said, perhaps the Holocaust might never have happened if Baba Yar didn't happen. It was a test for Hitler, because the final solution was after Baba Yar. And he realized that it was so easy to kill Jews.
You're absolutely correct, Nitzer. You're absolutely correct in everything you described. Firstly, the active knowledge and participation of the residents of Kiev. As you said, it happened on the outskirts of the city, but very much it was still a part of the city. And the residents afterwards would report that they heard the sound of gunfire from morning until night. Many of them heard the sounds of groans and sounds from within the earth for days after the massacre, as the wounded suffocated to death. The people of Kiev knew exactly what had happened, and many of them relished the opportunity. They participated. The Germans received more tip-offs about the locations of hiding Jews than they were able to process. So there was a degree of local collaboration both by ordinary residents of Kiev and by Ukrainian nationalist militias. And it was an atrocious thing. And you're quite right that the connection to the final solution and what happened westward in Poland with the death camps, it can't be overlooked, because as you rightly point out, the Wannsee Conference, at which the final solution was formally adopted as Nazi policy, occurred in January 1942, several months after Baba Yar. But the annihilation of men, women and children, the systematic genocide of the Jews had been happening for months before Wannsee. And the fact that it was able to happen, the fact that it was able to happen with such efficiency, with so few obstacles from local populations, is what enabled the Nazis to then adopt the final solution and start operating the death camps. And one of the reasons why the death camps were actually established and that method of poison gas was adopted was because the Germans, they saw the psychological impact that shooting Jewish women and children day after day after day at close quarters was having on them. And it was out of that concern for the psychological well-being of their trained killers that they started using the more impersonal method, the more efficient method of poison gas that we see in the 6 death camps in Poland.
Alex, what do we learn 80 years on?
The depth of human depravity and barbarism. We learn what people are capable of. We learned that with the slightest provocation, with the slightest opportunity, neighbour can turn on neighbour to denounce them, to dispossess them, to murder them in cold blood. And that's something very chilling and confronting. We learn also the completeness of the story of the Holocaust. And one of the things that always concerned me since I entered the Executive Council of Australian Jewry and a position in the Jewish community here was that while we do an impeccable job in remembering the Holocaust and studying it, the story was somewhat incomplete. It kind of began at Kristallnacht and finished at Auschwitz-Birkenau. And what happened eastward to the Jews of the Soviet Union, to some 1.5 million Jews who were killed predominantly in open-air shootings just like Baba Yar, was largely unknown. And I'm pleased that in the last few years there's been a far greater awareness of the complete story of the Holocaust, both within the Jewish community and beyond, and a greater understanding of who the killers were, what their methods were, who the victims were, and who the collaborators were as well.
Alex Rifchin, the co-CEO of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. Thank you so much. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.